Hey, everybody, back again on the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. Appreciate everybody for listening in. A couple of guests coming up on the podcast today, WrestleMania week. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of things going on. We'll get to those guys in just a minute. First and foremost, I want to remind everybody, please rate and review the podcast. Subscribe to it as well. There's a lot of different places you can get the podcast. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, the TuneIn app, all those great places to get the podcast. But please rate and review it. That helps us out a lot, especially on iTunes. We want to move up the ranks, and you can help us do that by giving us a lot of stars. We need those stars. So please rate the podcast. Hopefully you rate it well because you like what we're doing here. And also give some good reviews to the podcast too. So coming up later on, my talk with Tama Tonga from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we've been meaning to do that for a while. So we will talk about what he's got going on these days. And he's going to be appearing at Wally Mania coming up on Thursday night here in Orlando. But first, Rich Bikini. You might know him better as Rich Brennan, of course, from NXT and from SmackDown. He lives here in the area, and we like to get together every now and then to do a podcast, and that's exactly what we did. He came by here on Monday. You can hear my dog in the background right now. I believe you're going to be able to hear the dog also in the conversation with Rich as well. So here is myself along with Rich Bikini. All right, so we're at the Fritzodome here, as we like to call it. Even Rich knows that as the Fritzodome.
I'm psyched to be back in the Fritzodome. This is cool.
Rich Bikini is back in the house.
Hey.
For all you wrestling fans, it's Rich Brennan, but you should know him as Rich Bikini by now, too.
I don't know about that.
Why wouldn't they know that?
I don't know. According to the new NXT WWE book, I'm Mauro Ranallo. So.
Explain that to everybody. There was a little bit of a misprint in a publication that just came out.
So what is that? ECW Press put out the NXT book. Is it The Future Is Now? Is that
what
they're
calling it? Yeah, The Future Is Now,
yeah. Okay, so what is it? It's a book about the rise of NXT?
Yeah, I think
it grew from FCW and whatever. But yeah, there's a picture in there that somebody tweeted me, and it's Alex Riley, myself, and Corey Graves, which is taken at TakeOver Our Evolution, Zane Neville that night.
Right.
And it lists me as, it says, announcers, left to right, Alex Riley, Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves. So I had a couple people tweet that last night. I got a kick out of it. I was like, well, nice to know my contributions were appreciated.
Yeah.
I would get it if Mauro actually ever called NXT shows.
Right.
And he didn't. So I saw another tweet. Somebody from ECW Press was like, hey, thanks for the heads up. We'll fix it. Whatever. I don't really care. I just think it's kind of funny that, whatever. Just keep kicking a guy while he's down, right?
Yeah, what the hell was that all about, man?
Christ. Can't catch a break.
The guy was never even with NXT. That's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I mean, he was there for the Cruiserweight Classic, so he was at Full Sail.
Well, that's not NXT, though.
That's not NXT.
No.
The announcer position wasn't even in the same spot.
No.
They stuck those guys up at the top of the stands.
Is that where they put them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They weren't even down on the side. They were above the stands, and then they tarped off the stands, so that way fans couldn't even get close to them, because it was Mauro and Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, the, what match was it? It was the Brian Kendrick Kota Ibushi match. So like I was over in that area, so they have the tarp, and they still had like two or three rows. Hardly anybody sat over there, but I did.
Of course you did.
Right, because I mean that's typically where I sit for NXT shows anyway, right? So I'm just kind of like this lone guy just sitting over there. And I didn't realize it, but when the match got done, I'm standing up, and I think I was doing something on my phone, and I almost got run over. Like I almost got shoulder blocked from behind, and I didn't stumble, but I kind of staggered to the side. It was Daniel Bryan marching down to go to the ring to go hug his buddy.
Oh, right.
And
on,
he,
right on.
Like, I'm on my
just
phone.
Shoved you out of the way.
Yeah, he kind of shoved
out
me
of the way,
Mark.
Like, get beat it.
Exactly. I'm like, because all I heard is the last second was a big thump, thump, thump coming down the steps, you know? And I was just like, I almost got run over by Daniel Bryan.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
Can you imagine if I tumbled down the stairs?
Just head over tea kettle.
I should have.
Da-doom, 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 yeah.
Should have taken one for the team.
Yeah. Well, you might own a piece of the company now if you did.
I might.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not.
So what have you been up to lately?
Nothing.
That's good.
Yeah, well, no.
You just moved, though.
We just moved closer to downtown. My wife, I'm sure everybody's thrilled and excited to hear all this stuff here. But no, my wife works closer to downtown, so we moved closer to downtown Orlando. Wrestling wise, Fest Wrestling, still a part of.
Yeah.
Enjoying that. Our last show was Valentine's Day, Love is a Battlefield, where we awarded the prestigious Fest Wrestling Love Cup.
The Love Cup.
Sammy Callahan was.
That's your buddy.
Sammy Callahan, yeah, good guy. He was part of the tag team that won that.
Yeah.
We have another show coming up on Mother's Day. Bring your mom. Bring your mom to Fest Wrestling. So, that's,
by the way, if you hear a dog in the background, that's my dog freaking out because it sees somebody walking by.
The mailman's walking by.
Something like that, yeah. It's really bad when the mailman comes. We have like the mail slot in the door.
Oh, and it freaks her out. Oh, yeah.
You drop the mail in there and the dog freaks out.
That's funny.
That's funny.
But Fest Wrestling online, it's the Fest FL, so like thefestflorida.com. I believe April 21st is when they'll be announcing the lineup for the Fest this coming year.
Sure.
It's October, I think, 27th to 29th in Gainesville. Big punk rock, hardcore, metal fest over 3 days. I had some great bands there last year. Oh, it's 16 years now that that Tony has been running it. It's virtual who's who of anybody in the independent music scene. Big wrestling fans, so it's wrestling with punk rock DIY ethics, and it's a lot of fun. There's no pretense. There's no none of the BS that happens, you know, in other even independent organizations. Just a fun atmosphere. Everybody's there to put on a good show, have fun, and that's what it's about. So we'll be there Mother's Day. Bring your mom. 8 seconds in Gainesville. Great venue. You're right up close. There's no seats. Everybody stands up. It's a really cool atmosphere, and it's fun. So that's what I'm doing wrestling wise. Otherwise, I think I've been excommunicated or blacklisted or something from wrestling.
You've been blacklisted.
I think I have. Because
how is that possible?
Well, let's look at the facts here.
Okay, let's look at the facts.
Let's see. So what did they put out? WWE about 2 months ago. When I think it was when Corey was moved to Raw or whatever,
yeah.
Whatever it was, they said that Corey Graves joined Tom Phillips at the announce desk at TakeOver Our Evolution. They scrubbed my name from history. In the book, they scrubbed my name from history. And they said that I'm Mauro Ranallo. So
what is going on?
Apparently, I pissed somebody off somewhere. Oh, man.
That's just WWE, though. I mean, they do what they do.
Yeah. I don't think I've been blacklisted. I don't know. I'm kind of.
I don't think you have either.
I hope not.
I think when it's one of those things, like with any kind of profession, I think if people don't hear from you a lot, if you're not in the public eye,
yeah,
people just tend to casually forget. It's
right.
Like everywhere else.
Right.
So I don't think it's anything like that. And now it's one of those things like you're doing Fest, but you got to keep your name out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a hard thing when it comes to wrestling. I mean, there's all these different wrestling promotions, but there's certain ones that don't even need, you know, a broadcaster.
That's the thing. There's only so many places to go as an announcer, right?
Right.
So
what do we got? We got TNA.
You've got TNA.
Ring of Honor.
Evolve, technically. But, I mean, they all have announcers. They all have play-by-play guys. I had reached out to Ring of Honor and talked to a couple people there. Just nothing high level or anything. Just, hey, how are you? Whatever.
Yeah.
But you've got Kevin Kelly. You've got Ian, who both do a great job. So there's no place for me there.
Right.
Evolve has Lenny. They have Trevin. Again, there's no place for me there. TNA, maybe there would have been an opportunity there. Never ended up talking to anybody, but they've gone the direction that they've gone now. Perfect opportunity to, you know, to rebrand. Whether or not it was me or somebody like Lenny Leonard or somebody else, perfect opportunity to really reboot things, and we see what they did. And I'm not dumping on anybody who's there right now, but you had all the goodwill of the wrestling industry behind you, of the fans who really wanted to see this thing succeed. And I mean, I hate to say typical TNA fashion, but it's like they've shot themselves in the foot a couple of times since rebranding, and it's unfortunate because nobody wants to see them fail.
I know. And when you talk about them rebranding, I thought it was a golden opportunity that if they were going to change some things. There was talk about they're going to be changing some things. Obviously, we saw some talent come and go, but I thought they're going to change the announce team as well. And you were one of the guys I thought, like, you're right here in Orlando.
Yeah.
You got plenty of experience. People are talking about, you know, a younger, fresh face. That's you right there. So I thought it would have been a fit. And obviously they decided not to go down that road. And now they're doing, you know, announcer wars between.
I mean, does that really get anybody over? Besides, I don't even know that it gets the announcers over.
I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I think I've always talked about this. I do not like wrestling storylines that involve the announcers. I believe the announcer needs to be the conduit between the product and the fan. You are selling it to the fan. You know, you're explaining everything to the fan. And that's why I didn't like it when Michael Cole was part of a storyline.
You know, for me, the most involved that I like to see an announcer get is, you know, maybe something from the old days where David Crockett took the sickle from Nikita.
Right.
Right. So, something like that, or the announcer pisses somebody off, so he clocks him and then the wrestler gets suspended, and that's the end of it. The wrestler, the announcer is not involved in it going forward. It's just he happens to be there, says something, gets knocked out, or whatever the case, right? But I don't know.
I agree with you, though, man. I mean, I'm not a fan of it. I've never liked it, and I don't understand why TNA is going that route. I guess, and I keep calling them TNA, but now they're Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I guess part of it is they just want people talking about them right now. They feel like it's a whole controversy equals cash. Let's get people talking about the
product. I guess that makes sense.
It does. It's just, I don't know what that does to help your product, especially when you're doing something like that with non-wrestlers, when people that are not going to settle their difference in the ring. And I know they do this thing where they each pick a team and whatever, you know, and they captain a team, but they don't get in the ring. Even then, it's just like, they're announcers, though. Who cares? You know, yeah. I'd care if it was a manager or something like that. And that's something we could see with Josh coming up here. There's been some talk that maybe he's going to transition to being a manager.
He's a good talker.
Yeah, he is, you know. And then and a good dresser, too, apparently.
I don't know.
Is he still doing his podcast?
I don't know.
I feel like an idiot for not knowing.
All I know is he has, like, the biggest tie knots in the business.
Yeah, he has a huge tie knot.
Yeah.
Kind of like Merrill Hodge, for anybody that follows sports. Merrill Hodge of ESPN, former Steeler, the biggest tie knot you could see around, man. It's crazy. But, you know, Josh can talk. I've always thought, we've talked about this before, too, if those guys only had a producer, how much better they could be. But they're going to go this route, and maybe Josh is going to be a manager. Maybe Jeremy is going to be the announcer, still with Elijah Burke. I thought Mike Tenay might come back. I thought it might be you. I thought they needed to revamp that broadcast team just so if they keep talking about like this old guard and we're not the old guard anymore, to me, the easiest way to get past that is you change your announce team.
Mm.
And they have not. I mean, they're changing it. They're tweaking it. But it's still somebody that was with the company the entire time.
And then now you have the other thing with the Hardys, with the cease and desist and
right. All
this other stuff. I mean,
which I think has actually been settled, at least from the Hardys. Well, the Hardys,
hopefully,
they're now saying that the Broken Universe is trademarked and they own it.
Oh, interesting.
They said they got the patent. They said, we have the paperwork. We have from the U.S., from the government.
Wow.
It says, we have the patent. We have this trademarked. And it's funny because after they said that, WWE has put out one or two cryptic tweets like, relive WrestleMania 25 and watch Jeff Hardy with this broken table and broken in all caps. And like Matt Hardy's retweeting and going, did I hear broken? Delightful. You know, so
that's funny.
You know, and so maybe that's going to move on. And I understand what Impact was trying to do in that situation. You're trying to protect their product.
Sure.
But I don't think they're in that position where they can lose the goodwill of the fans when they've lost.
You don't have to do it publicly.
Right. I mean, they're losing this talent, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, and there's a couple of different reasons for that. I think some of it, a big part of it was communication.
Did they make it, did Impact make it public or did the Hardys make it public?
The Hardys made it public.
Oh, okay. All right. So here I am dumping on Impact for making it public.
The Hardys made it public because they were explaining to everybody why they were not there.
Oh, I got you.
And
okay.
I think Ed Nordholm even said something about, we're moving on, but thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Whenever.
Right.
And that's what pissed off the Hardys more than ever, especially Rebbie Hardy, was the fact that Ed Nordholm put out these nice things about the Hardys on Twitter. And then that same day, hours later, they had sent all these different forms to pay-per-view providers and to Ring of Honor saying you cannot use the Broken Universe. That's our property. They sent the cease and desist and they said, we are going to sue.
Isn't Ring of Honor and TNA on, aren't they both on Fight TV or the Fight app?
Yep.
Oh, man. All right.
You got to love that. Well, how about the whole thing with Impact? And good for them, man, because they're trying to make deals with different promotions. So they go and make a deal with Crash out of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So they make this deal. They're working with Crash. Conan's there. They bring in Conan, you know, and so they redo LAX. So they've got him there. And then what do? They go and make a deal with AAA.
AAA, yeah.
Which Conan does not want any part of. And it's a really awkward position for Conan. He's like, he's got to be thinking like, what the hell, man? We just made this deal. I'm working for you guys now. I'm appearing on the shows and you make a deal with AAA. But TNA is like, we just want to work with everybody. We're working with Noah. We're working with companies over in the UK. We want to work with everybody. If they can make it work, good for them. And I don't blame them for it, but it's got to put some people in some awkward positions.
It's an interesting time in the business, I think, because you have WWE who's doing so much now with, you know, for years, they wouldn't even acknowledge an independent promotion.
Right.
They'd make fun of the independents. And now, essentially, you've built NXT to be ROH on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
Right? And not to bring steroids into it, but you know what I'm talking about. It's,
yeah, they just blow it up to the 10th degree.
The super indie promotion. And now you have all these other indies. And it's really interesting seeing how different pockets of the country, different pockets of the world, you have these indie promotions that are doing, I say doing really well. I don't know.
For them, they're doing really well.
I don't know financially that it's making a ton of money, but you've got indie promotions drawing 500, 1,000 people consistently, even if it may not be every week, but every month or so, you're getting some of these crowds in. The talent's top notch. It's an interesting time to see all of these different organizations finding ways to work with each other and finding ways to grow the sport, grow the business, because really that's what you need. That's what sustains all of this.
Well, we're just about to the point where I think it's going to be announced right after WrestleMania, and it's been talked about for a while that there's going to be a couple of UK companies. They're going to be doing more work at WWE. Their shows are going to be on the network. In fact, a couple of these groups, they're going to be doing matches at Access.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What is it? Who's doing it? It's not What Culture, is it?
No, it's not What Culture. Why can't I think of it?
Progress? Also. Is it Progress?
Progress, I think, is one of them. I could be wrong. I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but there's two different companies.
Yep.
They're going to be doing shows, and then they're probably going to announce afterwards that they're working with WWE on a regular basis. You know, which is what we've been expecting for a little mm-hmm. while here, you know, and, you know, it's going to help them. WWE wants more programming for the network, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this. I mean, they're going to create a thing on the network that says independent wrestling.
Oh,
and that's what it's going to be.
That's cool.
So, I mean, that's why, what was it, like, how many months ago was it? There was all this talk about, they put out a survey they sent to some people, mm-hmm. and it said Ring of Honor on there, and people were like, what? And I think WWE, that's their ultimate goal. Is
you think there's any truth to the rumors that they're trying to buy out Ring of Honor?
I don't think they're trying to buy. Well, I don't think Ring of Honor's for sale unless it was like a ridiculous offer.
Mm.
I think that WWE...
Everything's always for sale, isn't it?
Everything has a price, as we all know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think WWE would really love the access to the library.
Yeah.
And if they can get access to Ring of Honor shows to put on the network... That's more programming. They could look at it from a standpoint of you go run your shows. You spend your money the way you want on your production for running your shows or whatever. But we're going to air them here. So yeah. Now we don't have to worry about, you know, contracting the talent, putting together the shows, booking all those different things. You do that and we will air it.
We'll air it.
The question is, if it gets to that point, do they then interfere and say, hey, you know what? We would like to see this. We would like to see that. Or how awkward does it get when they say, this guy's contract's coming up. Man, we sure would like him over here.
Slippery slope, right?
And Ring of Honor wants to keep him.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Adam Cole. His contract's coming up here May 1st.
It's interesting. Very interesting times.
It is. I mean, and there's relationships we never would have thought would have come together. And now we're seeing these things that in the past you thought was impossible. And everything is a possibility now.
I think... This is just me talking off the top of my head, but you almost think that, so you had the 80s where all the territories started dying off, and for a little while, Gagne, Crockett, whoever else, Pro Wrestling USA. That was NWA, AWA.
Yeah.
I think there might have been somebody else involved in that. But long story short, they tried to, well, how do we come together to fight Vince, right? And they couldn't do it because there are too many egos involved. Everybody wants to make sure their guy gets over or whatever the case is. And I think now, to an extent anyway, people, they kind of get it. It's like, well, if we work with WWE and we put our stuff on the network, it helps us. It doesn't hurt us.
Right.
And it potentially more opportunities for our talent. It's an interesting thing. If it's done right, and if...
As long as you don't get your talent raided.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing.
That's what I was going to get.
Yeah, and I think the big thing for them is they say, we're not competition to WWE. We are doing our business. We're not going to look at everybody else's competition from that standpoint when it comes to WWE. We want to do the best product that we can do, and we want to put it out there in the biggest way that we can. And if WWE is interested in it, well, why not go for that?
Right.
You know, if it gets more eyeballs on the product, gets people more interested in it, and it creates a relationship, who's not to say, hey, we're doing a big show. We're doing, like, our version of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get one of your talents?
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a main event guy. It could be a mid-tier guy, but you bring them in there, and you're like, wow. I mean, even if, okay, perfect example. What if you're doing a big show and they say, we're going to let you use Tyler Breeze?
Yeah.
That'd still be a pretty big deal.
It'd be huge.
Especially because Tyler can go. I mean, there's plenty of guys. What if they said, hey, we're doing this big show. Baron Corbin's coming over.
Yeah.
Which, if you put Baron Corbin in the UK, it seems like he fits right in, you know, with his look and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. So there's some possibilities of things that they could do. Wait, I would be very interested if they ever did a talent exchange like that and they said, they let them borrow a talent for a big show, and who would they let them work? What if they said, well, Drew Galloway is our champion, and Drew Galloway, obviously a former WWE guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would have a problem with that, but it'd be interesting to see at the same time.
I remember a couple of years ago talking to Booker when I was working with his promotion, and he was trying to figure out, well, we got all these guys in FCW, guys that they're not necessarily doing anything with. I'd love to have them come over and work a show or come over here for a month. And I think the issue was, what happens if a guy gets hurt
in
somebody else's ring? How does that... You would think that they'd be able to figure that stuff out.
I would think so.
But I think that's where maybe some of that hesitation comes in.
Right. And like, they just had Finn Balor appear on a show.
But he didn't do anything.
But he didn't do anything. Yeah. He just appeared.
Right.
Well, I think he hit Drew Galloway with a pipe.
Wow. That's...
But he didn't do anything. He didn't take any bumps.
Right.
He took more bumps in his match he did the other night with Triple H.
I saw something about that on Twitter. Was it in New York, White Plains or something? They did a house show match?
Something like that. Because Triple H is getting back and he's shaking off the ring rust.
Yeah.
And Finn's on the road. And I don't expect Finn to do anything at Mania. I think he's going to be there the night after.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I don't even know what I don't even know what's going on. All I know is he got hurt. He won the title, he got hurt, and he's been out.
Right. And he's been
4 months, 5 months, or something.
Yeah, he's been cleared for a couple of weeks at least.
Mm.
But you know, WrestleMania is done. I mean, it was already booked.
Isn't there a battle royal, or is that a women's?
There's a battle royal.
There's
the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, there's that.
Well, the other match is the SmackDown Women's Championship.
It's a gauntlet match or something.
Well,
right?
It's Alexa Bliss versus everybody. They haven't explained the rules, but she's going to be facing every female that's on SmackDown.
Okay. So,
there's been some talk like maybe there would be some surprises in that match. Like, could you get, and even Marie, could you get Victoria? Could you get Kelly?
Right.
Different things like that.
Okay.
I just talked to Alexa the other day. And I asked her, how many people you think are going to be in that match? She's like, I don't know. And she goes, honestly, I have no idea. And I said, I think there's going to be 10. And she freaked out.
Oh,
and she's just like, why would you say that?
She'll get the finish in Gorilla and be like, oh, God, what am I doing?
Right. You know, because I told her, I think there's going to be some surprises. Like, Naomi will be back. I mean, I think there's five right now, including Alexa. And then if you get Naomi back and... Tamina, if she makes her return, because she's been on the road, maybe they put Asuka in that match. I don't know. She's been traveling SmackDown.
She would theoretically make her debut Monday night, right? Or does she lose the title Saturday night or Friday night, whenever TakeOver is?
Saturday, yeah.
Okay. And then make the debut at Mania in the match and then win the title.
She could. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, some people are wondering too, because, okay, they haven't announced a SmackDown Tag Team Championship match yet, okay? So, American Alpha.
Who are the tag team champions?
The Usos. They just won them last week. They beat American Alpha.
Okay.
And they go on Talking Smack, and they go, we want a match at WrestleMania. We want an opponent. We want to be on WrestleMania. And they were asked, who do you want to face? And he said, we want to face the Bullet Club. And, well, basically, it's Anderson and Gallows. They just don't call them the Bullet Club,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, some people are wondering, well, Matt and Jeff Hardy are already going to be in Central Florida the night before they're working Ring of Honor. They are available. So would you put them against the Hardys? And then there's this whole thing, too, when it comes to, I think we all believe the Hardys are going back, whether it's WrestleMania, the day or two afterwards with Raw and SmackDown, or a month later. But you're talking about bringing back Matt and Jeff Hardy. Can you do it with the Broken Universe, considering there's a lot of people that watch WWE? They have no idea about this thing. Mm. I mean, there's more than previously, and there's word of mouth and more people watching it and social media and everything. But there's going to be some people that go, is that Matt Hardy? Mm-hmm. What the hell is he doing
out
there?
What's this all about? Why is he here again?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, being out, for the most part, kind of outside of the business here the last year, or at least at a distance from it. When you're so close to it, it's like anything else. You think that everybody knows who Baron Corbin is, and just throwing names out here. It's, you're a hockey fan or whatever. You're a Blackhawks fan. You think everybody knows who Brian Bickle is. Most people have no idea who that is. They have zero clue. And the only time they're going to find out is if they're watching WrestleMania, if they're watching the Stanley Cup Final, if they're whatever.
Yeah.
When you're so close to it, you think, well, geez, everybody knows who Alexa Bliss is.
Right.
They don't.
I know.
And that's not, I'm not knocking her.
Right, right. It's just, you know, perfect example, just to go off on a tangent. So last year, I'm a big Cubs fan. So last year, during the World Series, maybe even before then, the playoffs, some guy who I didn't even know was badgering me on Twitter about Javier Baez, who I know. And I mean, being a Cubs fan, he's a young player. And I was just like, oh, Javi Baez, he's killing it, you know, defense. And this guy's like, nobody knows Javi Baez. And I go, you're going to know Javi Baez by the end of the postseason. And everybody knows him by the end of the postseason. Right. I mean, that guy played incredible defense. He had key hits, you know, during different series, including in the World Series. So, you know, but you know what? I'm close to it. That's my team. I'm following all the time.
Right.
I'm not following everything. And I understand that. So I don't know what they can do when it comes to Matt and Jeff Hardy. Like, do they want to bring him back as the Broken Universe? If they do, you know, how much input can they have? Because they're the ones that create it. They know the characters. And that would be totally different for WWE to give up, you know, that much creative control on somebody or working with them. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it. There's a lot of people that believe, like, so Jeff wouldn't be part of the Broken Universe anymore because he's Jeff Hardy, and people, you know, in WWE love him and love the old character. And maybe Matt would do it just on his own. Mm. But even then, I think you'd need vignettes. I would urge vignettes, and I wouldn't even bring them into like May.
But do the old Million Dollar Man,
yeah,
vignettes for weeks ahead of time.
Do something, man. I mean, we saw how great they work for Adam Rose, but you know,
yeah, Emelina's another one too, right?
They've been doing stuff for her for 6 months,
yeah,
at least 6 months.
How about just Evil Emma? Evil Emma was awesome.
Evil Emma's great. Yeah. Well, she's got the police
the
officer
and
glasses
thing, yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, her and Dana, I thought together were in NXT. I thought it worked great.
I wonder if they are going to put them back together now. Because, I mean, they did the Emelina thing and then didn't work. You know, I guess they didn't like the way she was playing the character when they're practicing
like
it.
That.
Which
yeah.
is strange. It's like,
wouldn't you know whether or not the person could do the character before you start running vignettes?
I would think so.
I mean, call me crazy, but...
So that was a situation where they had a character before they had a person to play it.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever they had in mind for it. So now she's going to be Evil Emma again. We just don't know when she's going to debut. I don't want to see her necessarily go back down, but I could see her and Dana being paired again. I think they don't know what to do with Dana because Dana still needs to improve in the ring a lot. She got called up too quick.
There's a lot of that. A lot of that.
I was worried about a couple of people. So when Baron Corbin got called up, I thought a little bit too soon, but he's done well. I'll give Baron all the credit in the world. He's worked, and he's got an opportunity to work with some great guys, too, that's helped him. I thought it was a little bit too soon. Alexa Bliss, I thought she might be ready. And she was, come to find out. But I had seen her do a bunch of shows. And once she broke apart from Blake and Murphy and she got to do singles run, she was improving.
Yeah, she got a lot better very, very quick. I remember her in the very beginning, just really, really, really green.
Yeah.
But I mean, she got it real, real quick.
She got the character really quick, yeah, too. Nia Jax is the one, too, that I was like, man, I understand the look, but it's too soon. She needed more experience.
Yeah.
And I can't blame the talent. I mean, it's not their fault if they're put in a situation like, what am I going to do? Say, nope, I need more seasoning. Don't call me up.
It was like me going to SmackDown. Right. It's the same thing. Yeah, I was actually going to mention to you Paige, I think, too much too soon. And you've seen that play out in different ways, unfortunately, for her. You know, she was always really nice to me, really cool to me. And I hope whatever is going on, she kind of gets it together. But that's a whole other thing that people don't think of is you have your on-screen character, you have your in-ring stuff. You might be ready for that, but are you ready for all this other stuff, all this away from the ring stuff? What do you do on a day-to-day basis? How do you take care of yourself? Are you going down a path that maybe isn't going to be the best for you to go down? And we've seen that hurt people in the past. Again, I'm not saying that anybody in particular is doing anything. You just,
right,
when you're around, you kind of see things and you observe things and you kind of say,
especially when you're younger.
Especially when you're younger. I hope they put the brakes on. So that's a whole other thing. But you got to think about that. Like, you know, a guy like Corbin's an older guy. He's been around the NFL. Like, he knows how to conduct himself.
He knows
himself.
The world a little bit.
He knows how to conduct himself. When you take somebody who's 18, 19, 20 years old, and next thing you know, you're putting them on TV in front of 3 million people.
Yeah.
They're on a TV. They're on a different TV show. They're doing this. That gets to you.
I can only imagine. Do you know the person that's really, to me, defied the odds and has blown me away how much he's improved? And I thought never should have gotten called up is Braun Strowman. Braun is doing great.
You got a guy like that. You have to. I haven't seen anything that he's done lately, but he's such a unique looking person. Right. He's got the size. He's got the look. I don't know what his matches look like lately.
Much better.
Are they?
I mean, you can just see the improvement week after week after week.
But even with a guy like that, doesn't have to do a lot.
No, and he shouldn't. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he doesn't have to take a lot of bumps. Oh. And he's not going to be doing, you know, high-flying stuff. I mean, I know there's some people, and he's very athletic as well, but that doesn't mean you should do that stuff.
No.
I mean, you are a huge guy, so take advantage of those gifts that you have.
I remember him working at the Performance Center, and he wasn't working house shows yet for NXT or anything. They were kind of trying to keep him out of the public eye, and he'd work some of the house shows in the Performance Center that would go on. And even just like simple stuff. I think he had this power slam finish, basic stuff or whatever. But a guy that big doing that to somebody, it looks good. And as long as you kind of give it that little bit of extra, that extra punch or whatever, it's really, really effective. And he's such a unique looking guy, so powerful. And
plus,
just,
he's like a fun-loving dude behind the scenes.
He is. He's really funny. He's a really
I've
funny
seen
dude.
The video of himself, like, recording himself, like, driving and rapping before.
He's a good dude. I like Braun.
That's good.
Yeah.
Who are some of the other guys that you worked with? Let's talk about some of the other people that you've been around when it comes to NXT, because I just talked to Ty Dillinger the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And Ty,
another good dude.
A great guy, man. I mean, just one of the greatest. I mean, he's really one of the nicest guys around, and he's just been waiting for an opportunity. But he got one at the Royal Rumble, but he still loves NXT. I mean, you taught that guy, and he's just like, I've been in wrestling for 15 years. That was my moment. Whatever they want to give me, I'll be ready for it. But, man, I love NXT. He's just a good guy just waiting for that chance. And so this is his second stint now with NXT. Mm-hmm. And he was, even when we talked, and I put it up, everybody can go listen to that conversation. I've got that podcast up. But he even brings up the whole, I hate it when people talk about they think I've been here for a decade. Because that was a joke about him, was the decade of developmental. And he has not spent a decade in developmental. No.
He was there, what, he was Garrett Spears for a little bit?
Right.
And then he left, and I want to say he came back.
And he was also Gavin Spears.
Gavin Spears, whatever it was. So I got there, what, beginning of 2014? He'd been there since
2013.
2013, I think he came back. He wasn't there, like, too long before I got there.
Right.
Maybe
was,
a year.
He was there for, like, 3 years, and he left for, like, 2.5 years, and he came back.
Right.
I think is what it was. But, I mean, he came back. He was the same guy, and then, you know, he comes up with the Perfect 10 gimmick, and it's worked.
He went through a lot of different gimmicks, a lot of different ideas.
He was tagging with Jason Jordan for a while.
He was tagging with Jordan for a while, and then even just at promo class, and he had this thing where he was, I forget what it was. He was like some type of mind reader or something.
Really?
He had something where he had cards. And like he'd pull out like the ace card or something. I forget what it was.
That's awesome.
It was almost like he'd put the ace in your pocket, and that was like you were marked for,
oh okay,
for death or whatever.
That makes sense.
And it was cool, but they didn't like it or whatever. And he did a couple of other things as well. And I almost think the Perfect 10 thing was almost like his like screw it gimmick. Where he's like, all right, the hell with this.
He was telling me his buddy came up with it.
Yeah.
He didn't even come up with it. He went home to Canada and he was venting. And one of his buddies goes, hey, man, look at the landscape right now. You know, you've got an architect and you've got, you know, we've got this and that. And I go, when was the last time they had somebody that was perfect? And he goes, they don't have anybody that's perfect. And he thought about it and he thought about it more and he came up with the Perfect 10. He said, I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked. It's worked as a baby face, which is kind of funny because originally it was a heel. Because you think like, can you come out and goes, that match was a 10. Everybody like, no, like a 2. And
he did this thing for a little bit as well where he'd come out to like, it was almost like stripper music.
Yeah.
And that was actually really funny. And I think that's kind of how the Perfect 10 thing evolved, if I'm remembering this right. But he did this thing where he'd go to the ring and he'd kind of strut around or whatever, and he did the forward roll from the corner, and the way that he like grabbed the front leg and
Did you like a really formal forward roll?
Yeah, and it was just really 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 funny the way, because then he'd get up and he basically popped everybody in the back. I think the Perfect 10 thing kind of grew from that a little bit. So it's cool seeing that you don't know sometimes what's going to hit.
And that's cool that he's getting a chance now, man. Now let's see what happens.
Sure.
I don't think he's getting called up like right after Mania, but who knows? He could be called up at any time. I mean, any kind of slot that they need. He could come in there. I mean, they trust him to work with everybody.
That's the thing. He's the kind of guy who can, and you always hear about these guys, he's a good hand, right? Whatever.
But right.
He legit can go and have a match with anybody and have that match be a good match.
Yeah. Were you surprised when you worked there that he didn't get called up already?
No. No, and the only reason I say that is because just as far as character wise, there wasn't anything that was necessarily set for him,
right?
Which is what we were just talking about. But I mean, as far as his in ring stuff, it's a whole other thing too with characters too, and with gimmicks that you come up with, because you may come up with something and you do it for a while, and then Vince doesn't like it or the writers don't like it or whatever. So you've done all this basically for no reason anyway, because when you get called up, they're going to do whatever they're going to do with you anyways. And sure, that's changed a little bit in the past couple of years, thankfully. Apollo Crews goes up, he's still Apollo Crews. Neville goes up, he's still kind of the same Neville. Owens, you can go down the whole list of guys who have gone up. Even Strowman. So you bring him in with the Wyatt family, that makes sense. But he's still just, you know, a big 7-foot-tall monster.
Right.
So that works on his own. It works with the Wyatts. It works however you're going to do it. As far as Dillinger going up, I guess I wasn't surprised that he didn't get called up.
Was there anybody you saw that you were surprised didn't get called up or get called up sooner than they did?
I'm still kind of surprised they haven't really done anything with Sami Zayn. And just from what I've read, you know, they kind of gave him a little push, but I guess they kind of pulled back on
that a
little
bit. They're starting
to
do some more stuff now. Because he was a whipping boy there for a little while, and he's still losing, but they're starting to do that underdog thing with him.
Yeah,
that
may be the idea. You do the long-term thing where he just gets his ass kicked, and then...
Sure.
Lovable underdog.
Right.
And now...
Well, they do that on TV, and then, you know, at house shows, he and Kevin Owens just had this great matchup in Montreal, where they're both from,
right.
And Sammy went over.
Oh, that's cool.
Great, you know?
Yeah. No, that's real cool. And I guess, you know, Sammy did go, he hurt his shoulder in that match against Cena.
Right.
You know, in Montreal, of all places.
Which is one of the strangest injuries I've ever seen in my life.
Well, he was hurt to begin with, I think.
Right. He had to have been hurt before he even went into it.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as guys, I mean, I guess when they did the brand split, they pretty much brought everybody up, right?
So they brought up a lot of people,
So anybody who was, I don't want to say anybody who was worthwhile, but anybody who was ready...
Well, like the Vaude Villains were ready. They didn't know what else to do with them. But the problem was they didn't know what to do with them on the main roster either.
No, no.
Same with the Ascension, which, hey, they might be great guys. I was worried about them because I could tell that, I think everybody could tell they were about to bring up the Ascension.
Right.
And I was just like, this gimmick is not going to work. Mm. And then they brought them up and they did the Road Warriors thing and it killed them.
But you know what? I still go back to the way that it was presented. And when you have... announcers basically, you know, crap all over you.
JBL killed him.
JBL killed him. JBL killed him. And whether or not he was parroting Vince.
Right.
But
I don't understand that, though. That's a old situation.
The thing I don't get about that company sometimes, and it's with talent, it's with announcers or whatever, they'll put people in positions to fail. And...
how does that help your business?
It doesn't, and it doesn't help. I worked with JBL on Main Event for 6 months or whatever, and there's the old, you know, the old saying: you take care of your old broadcast partner. You take care of them. Somebody slips up. I mean, you've been in broadcasting forever. You don't dump on the guy. You don't make it
not
worse.
Public.
You don't make it obvious.
Right.
You cover for each other because at the end of the day, when you're talking for an hour or 2 hours at a time, you're going to screw up. You're going to say stuff wrong. You're going to get something right. And I get that's JBL's character to be a bully and what I just don't see it. I don't understand how it helps anybody. I don't understand how it helps the talent. I don't understand how it helps announcers that are sitting at the desk with you to. You can do like a Graves thing. You can poke and you can prod. But when you're just sitting there just lambasting the guy that you're doing the show with, how does that help anybody?
I don't get it.
It doesn't help anybody.
What was your relationship like with JBL calling shows?
At the desk, I couldn't wait to get away from him. Couldn't wait. Backstage, he was okay. Talk to him, but man, as soon as you put that headset on, he was just...
He's going
to
win his own path?
He would just sometimes say stuff that was, what is he talking about? You know, on other times, and granted, there were times where like I flubbed something and I'm sure whether it was Cole or whether it was Vince or whoever said, you know, give it to him. Right. But again, how does that help anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to pull me aside and say, get your stuff together. You screwed this up or whatever, you know, but...
Once you're on the air, you're putting on a performance.
But you cover for each other.
Yeah.
And you help each other out. I never got that sense from JBL. But again, that's his character. So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. And that's the biggest thing is that in that situation, you have to, you know, no sell it. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's frustrating. I mean, I'm calling a hockey game with somebody and. You know, if I misidentify a player and my color guy starts just crapping all over me. Oh, what are you stupid? Oh, get a pair of glasses or whatever. How does that help the broadcast?
That doesn't.
It doesn't help the broadcast.
I mean, there's a couple of different ways to cover for it. One way is if you know each other really well, You can find a way to joke around about it, but there has to be a special relationship already in place there. Otherwise, there's a variety of other ways to cover for it.
There's a million ways. And
hell, one of them is even writing down on a piece of paper and sliding a note over somebody saying, hey, that's so-and-so.
Whatever the case.
You don't make a fool of somebody on the air.
And in regards to the Ascension, they came out, they were, you know, they had the vignettes for 2 weeks or a month or whatever. The Ascension's coming. Here they come. And they come out there and you make fun of them. I don't understand that. I don't get why you would put them out there just to crap on them.
I don't get that either. So did you ever have a conversation with JBL about?
No, because he's untouchable. Hmm. He's untouchable. What are you going to say to him?
Right.
Or in my case, what was I going to say to him?
Right. Because he's been in the business
he's Vince's guy. Vince's guy.
It's a tough thing.
That's one of the interesting things there with that company. There are people that get away with different things or can do certain things that, you know, I couldn't do. Mm. Tom Phillips maybe can't do. The ring announcer can't do or whatever. The undercard guy, the guy who's just brought up from NXT, can't do. Or say, it's an interesting thing. I mean, that's the lay of the land there,
right?
Right. It's kind of that old school carny sort of locker room thing. And any locker room, anywhere, whether it's wrestling or hockey or baseball, whatever, there's locker room clubhouse etiquette. And there are things that you do and things that you don't do. Basically, you just don't be an idiot. If you're not an idiot. And you just treat people with respect, and for the most part, things move along well.
Sure. So what do you make of these tweets now? Because Mauro Ranallo hasn't been on TV for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's been suffering from depression because he is bipolar. He's very open about it.
Yep.
And he also does a podcast with Boss Rutan. And now Boss is coming out, and he is making claims towards JBL.
I could totally see JBL ribbing Mauro to no end. Mauro's a different guy. He might say he's a little weird or whatever. We're all a little weird in this business. Mauro's, from my dealings with him, was always okay to me. It was fine. And I've told you this before. I don't have any issues from my end. I have no problem with Mauro at all. But he's a different guy.
Sure.
I know. Just from talking to people, and you've heard this before. If you're quote unquote a mark and you work there, you're gonna get
ribbed. You're gonna get joked. You're gonna get teased with.
You're gonna get it. Is Mauro considered a mark by some of them? He might be.
I'm sure he is.
He probably is.
Well, it's like when Kevin Eck went there,
right?
I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I've got a feeling because Kevin's background. So this is a guy that was a fan, was writing for the Baltimore Sun, and he gets brought in to be a part of the creative team.
Right.
I can imagine what that situation was like.
I'll tell you a little quick story, something that happened to me. We're in Manchester, England, and The Undertaker he wasn't on TV. We were doing SmackDown, and Undertaker came out to do just a live house show thing. I forget why they had him come out, but he came out and just did a little thing. I think it was for Survivor Series, because Survivor Series was like 2 weeks later. So anyway, Undertaker comes out and it's dark. It's not for TV. So we're just kind of sitting there. I grab my phone. I took a couple of pictures, right? Here comes the Undertaker. Babe Ruth of the company. Took a couple of pictures so I could send it to my nephew. I got so much crap about that in the headset. Oh, you're such a mark. We can ask him to take a picture with you and sign an autograph when the show's done. I'm like, really? So it's almost like, don't be excited. Don't
embrace the product.
Don't work there, but don't embrace the product.
Yeah.
And
what if you had sent that out, like on Twitter? And what if it got like a couple of thousand retweets? Would you have still been a mark? Or would they have said, okay, that's good for the company?
Who knows? But because I
see PR people do that.
Right. But because I took my phone out, and again, we weren't taping at that point. It was a 10-minute break or whatever that The Undertaker came out. I think they changed the ring apron. They did a bunch of different stuff before we finished taping the rest of it. had a couple of minutes, took a drink of water. Here comes the Undertaker. Cool. Took a couple pictures, shot it off to my nephew. A friend of mine's son is a big fan. Said, hey, cool. Look at it. Here's the Undertaker from ringside. I got so much shit for that. But that's the mindset.
Yeah.
That's the mindset. Like, could you imagine Vin Scully last year, right? And another announcer says, hey, I want to get a picture taken with Mr. Scully. Everybody did it. Are they marks?
No.
No.
They're respecting a legend.
They're respecting a legend. So
that's the way I look at it. But yeah. it's a different business, though. We can sit there and say, yes, this is all entertainment when it comes to any kind of sport. But wrestling is this unique business that still holds on to things of the past. They're slow to change with some of these things, especially behind the scenes, which there's some of it, though, that luckily they have changed over. And that's because of younger talent in the millennial age. And you see people that aren't going to go out and go get pulled up, go get drunk all the time, whatever. They're more apt to, you know, get on social media all night
and play video games
than they are of going to do those other things, which does that make them a goofball and a nerd because they're doing that stuff?
It's a different mindset. It's a different,
right. It's just slow to change. And there's still some things from the past that people never let go of when it comes to that business.
It's true. You know, but going back, I guess, to the original question that you asked, you know, judging by the tweets, apparently JBL's been really giving it to Morrow, and that maybe pushed him.
And apparently Boss Rutten better not come across JBL.
Yeah, it's kind of dicey, and it's an interesting thing because unless they're working all of us, which I suppose is possible,
it just puts Morrow in a very difficult position, possibly. If say that is the case, and we're reading into this a little bit, but Morrow and Boss are friends.
Yeah.
What Boss goes, hey man, are you doing okay? What's going on? What got you in this boot? And he goes, JBL said something got under my skin, and it just kind of kicked into a, you know, I got into this mood. Next thing you know, me being bipolar, didn't take my medicine, or something happened. But, you know, and
the whole thing is really interesting though, because you look at Morrow over the last year or whatever, the last couple of months, when, you know, so now they have this four man booth, and it was kind of, you know, in some ways the same sort of thing that I ran into. I'm a play by play guy. My skill for me is calling play by play. My skill isn't necessarily being the pitch man or whatever, which is what that job is, which is what most fans don't grasp. What they don't realize is that, yeah, calling the match, that's part of it, but being the traffic cop and making sure that you get from segment to segment, pitching to video packages, pitching to graphics, whatever, that's the more important part of it in their eyes. That's the more important part of it. Which if you watch, that's what Tom Phillips does. All he does is pitch the packages, do the transitions. They're huge on the transitions.
He's like the host of the broadcast.
He's the host, which I remember actually talking to Morrow last year saying, geez, you know, it'd be helpful sometimes if they had a host and they'd just let us call the matches.
And that's basically what they've done now.
That's what they're doing. You would think that you would put your host at a, like every other sport, put him at a separate desk and have that host handle some of those tosses and handle some of those things. It's almost like they kind of cut his nuts off a little bit. Like, you're going to have, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have Tom sit somewhere else? Or have Tom and Renee or Tom.
Because it just looks awkward when your play-by-play guy's just kind of sitting there. Or everybody's sitting there.
And so the deal is at least from what I think, they don't trust him to do that stuff. Because I've mentioned this to you before, when you do that show, especially being a live show and stuff changes on the fly, a lot of times you've got the sixth version of the rundown. You've got the sixth version of the script. So you've already prepared the third version and you wrote out graphics and you had, I can make this transition from here. I can do this. I can toss this. This goes together. Well, now on the sixth version, all that stuff's different and you may or may not have actually had time before the show to not only look over it, but to make sense of it. You can say, well, that's part of the gig. That's very tough to make those changes on the fly while you're trying to call a match.
Yeah.
And to be able to get to those things. Because again, earlier you were tossing to this package that started with this. Well, now all of a sudden they just told you 30 seconds ago that's scrapped, and now you're going to this graphic and you're going into that sort of.
And they're telling you while you're finishing calling a match.
Or they'll tell you in the headset, hey, JBL, talk for 30 seconds. I need to talk to Rich or Moore or whoever. And they'll tell you. So you're trying to get this stuff down, but while you're still, it's difficult. And
it's a skill.
It's a skill. Not everybody can do it. That's obvious. Michael Cole's the master of it, and that's why Cole is there. That's why he's been there as long as he has been. You might say, a lot of people say, well, Cole sucks at calling matches. He doesn't. He's actually a really good play-by-play guy.
I agree.
But he is so good at those transitions and doing that. Even Jim Ross has said he couldn't do what they want the announcers to do.
It's a different world now.
It's difficult. But I feel for Morrow in a lot of ways because, like, he's an excellent play-by-play guy. His style, it's not how I would call matches, but he's very, very good at what he does. There's no questioning that. And to kind of force him into this box to say, well, you have to be able to do this, this, and that, and then to almost kind of embarrass him by putting a fourth guy at the desk to do that stuff, it's kind of, I don't know.
It's an interesting position. It's a unique one.
Yeah.
So we've got WrestleMania week coming up.
We do.
Here in Orlando.
Yeah, here in lovely, the city beautiful.
So where are we going to see you at?
Nowhere. I have a Little League game that I'm managing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Conway Little League. Come by 11:15. The A's are playing the Mets.
Nice. So that's why you're wearing an A's
hat. That's why I'm wearing an A's hat.
Wondering if you like changed allegiances with your team.
No. It's still kind of a Red Sox fan, kind of an Astros fan from being in Houston for so long. I became an Astros fan. It wasn't a problem at first because they were in the National League and they switched and whatever.
It became a problem.
I there's a possibility that I may be doing a show, doing commentary for a show. I don't want to say which particular show it is in case it doesn't happen.
Right.
I may be doing something, but we were talking about this before. It's kind of depressing in some ways. Like, here I am. I called NXT. I called SmackDown. I'm just literally sitting on my hands during WrestleMania week.
Let's get you a sign during WrestleMania week. You'll walk the streets.
Oh, we're a sandwich
board.
We'll announce for food. Yeah.
Just have a big sandwich board. Former WWE announcer Rich Brennan.
Yeah. So I don't know. I may end up doing that show.
Yeah.
If it comes,
there should be
some
opportunities for you.
We'll see. I'm
just gotta keep beating down the doors. That's all it is. And you never know. It's one of those things, like with a wrestler waiting to get called up. You're sitting there in NXT and you're doing your job and you're hoping to get the call and you just have to be ready. You never know when it's going to happen.
Yep.
It's like the minor league pitcher.
It really is. So we talked about it. I'm doing Fest. I'm enjoying doing that.
Yeah.
Fest wrestling. We've got a bunch of videos online. It's very DIY, very, punk rock ethics is what I said. It's more of an adult product. It's not really a kid-friendly product, so just want to throw that out there. If anybody happens to be watching it with the,
don't bring your 4-year-old.
Yeah, don't bring the kids. It's 18 plus at the place that we do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's not crass. It's not
right,
but there's adult elements. It's, you know, there's F-bombs and swearing.
Sure,
and drinking beer and whatever.
A lot of naked women.
There's no naked women. No,
nope.
It's
I was kidding.
No. We're not going down that road. But Fest Wrestling, but we've got a bunch of videos on YouTube. The Fest Florida or the FestFL.com is where you can get more info about the Fest itself and then Fest Wrestling. And then at Fest Wrestling on Twitter. You can get some information. So,
and what are you on Twitter?
At Rich Bocchini, BOCCHINI. Nobody will ever remember that. But it's at Rich Bocchini.
You just spelled it out. They should remember it now.
I did.
I always appreciate it, man.
We
talked about doing this more often, and we didn't.
I know.
So we need to.
I agree with you.
Once a month, come over here to the Fritzadome.
I was waiting to get that in there about the Fritzadome to come over here.
Yeah, because I called it that the last time.
Yeah.
It's always been wherever I'm at, it's the Fritzadome.
Yeah. So hopefully, if you're listening to this and you're around Orlando or whatever, tweet me or whatever. I'd love to come out and hit up some of the things. I may hit up Evolve or some of those or whatever. But
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
What?
I've got something for you to do.
What do you got?
So after NXT on Saturday night.
Yep.
So NXT will get out about 10:30.
Uh-huh.
Right across the Amway Center is Harry Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
we're doing the Between the Ropes after party.
Oh,
we're
you
having
are.
A get together.
Oh.
So we've got about, I don't know, 15, 20 people coming out right now. There could be more.
Yep.
There could be other special guests. Would you like to be a special guest?
Oh, sure.
At the
why
Between
not?
The Ropes
yeah,
after
why
party.
Not? I'm
Look
sure
at that.
That'll draw him in. That'll
all
bring
right.
him in. That'll pack the.
That, advertise that, man.
That'll pack the rest.
First drinks on me
rappers.
When you're a guest.
I don't drink.
Oh, that's right.
You can get me a Diet Coke, though.
I will get you a Diet Coke. Yeah. I'll get you an appetizer.
Nice.
I'll do that.
Very cool. I'm in.
One more thing.
Look at that. I'm booked.
I told you, man. We're going to get your name out there. We're going to get you booked, man.
Yeah, right.
So that's a beautiful thing. We're going to get you booked. We're going to get you some gigs. So that way, when you're talking about this super secret, I might be calling a show, you know, it's going to be a done deal.
Yeah, right.
And that's just going to avalanche into bigger and better things.
Yeah.
See you back in the wrestling scene more often.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, too.
Cool.
I want to see it.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, Fritz. Thanks.
Quick reminder, please support Between the Ropes on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. We're adding some new tiers there. There's going to be some goodies for everybody. We appreciate all of the support that everybody gives us from spreading the word about Between the Ropes. But if you can support us on Patreon as well, that goes a long way in helping us keep doing what we're doing. And if you support us there, like I said, there's going to be some more goodies for you, and you're going to enjoy them. I think you already enjoy the podcast, but you're really going to enjoy the extra stuff that we can give you if you support us there on Patreon. So go support us there, please. It's patreon.com/betweentheropes. Let's get to the conversation with Tama Tonga from New Japan Pro Wrestling, one half of the Gorillas of Destiny. I spoke with him this past weekend, and if you are in Orlando, you could probably get the opportunity to talk to him because he's going to be appearing at Wale Mania on Thursday night. So here is my conversation with Tama Tonga. Well, after I don't know how long it has been, finally we're catching up with Tama Tonga, of course, one half of Gorillas of Destiny from New Japan Pro Wrestling. We were just talking about this. We've been discussing doing this for going back to January of 2016.
Yeah. Finally, hey, making it happen.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because we actually met. You were supporting one of your buddies at, I think it was an Evolve show, and I looked over and I was like, "Wait a second, is that Tama Tonga?"
Yeah, man, we were there just to check out the boys. We heard some of the boys, and we live right down the street from there, so. We figured it might not just stop by and say, you know, Rocky and Trent, some of the boys that work with us in New Japan over there. So just wanted to come kick it with them. Glad we all met, man.
Yeah. And that was the funniest thing, too, because we were talking about, we're like, yeah, I live here in Orlando. And you're like, I walk to the show. I live right down the street. And I was like, what?
Yep. I literally walked across downtown Orlando.
That's awesome. So you are going to be one of the special guests. There'll be a Wale Mania that's coming up this Thursday at the Tier Nightclub. There's a limited meet and greet. People can get tickets by going to MLW.com. It's going to be yourself, the Tangaloa, and Ricochet. Right. And who else is going to be there?
We got Eric Bischoff. We got a few names. Noel Foley.
Yep.
Jim Ross, MVP. Court Bauer. We got a few names. Even Kevin Sullivan, man. One of my favorites over is Kevin Sullivan. He'll be there, too. So, looking forward to that.
Dave Meltzer's going to be there. Are you going to ask him why he hasn't given you a 5-star match yet?
Because I don't deserve a 5-star match, man. I'm not big league like those guys yet, man.
Wow, I like this. Humble.
I got a ways to work, man. So it's all good. What's up, Dave Meltzer?
You've been in the wrestling business now for what, about 9 years ago? Is that when you debuted?
Yeah, man. I debuted, I trained from, me and my brother started in 2008. We actually started training for the, you know, last time WrestleMania was here was in Orlando, was in 2008.
Yeah.
We started right that January before that WrestleMania. And here we are, man. Full circle. There's a WrestleMania right down the street from Orlando. Right with the beginning for us. So, yeah, about 9 years ago, huh?
You're going to be able to walk to WrestleMania this year if you want to go.
I'll meet you over there, man.
Let's do it. You know, one of the things I found interesting about your career is that it could have turned out in so many different ways because obviously your father has the WWE roots and you decided to go through the system of New Japan. What was it about that system that you said, this is where I want to go to train to really take this seriously and become a pro wrestler?
Ah, shit, man. To be honest with you, it was actually my dad who wanted me to go through there because you know, our dad, he that's where he started, was All Japan. So he knew how the whole system went. And he wanted that kind of training for me and my brother. But unfortunately, when we went to try it out, my brother got picked up and I didn't. You know, so it forced us to, you know, try different routes. And my brother went to WWE, went that route. I went to New Japan. And I was forced to go that way because I didn't get picked up. So it was a blessing in disguise, you know. So it just happened the way it is. And now look at that. After my brother went that road, learned from WWE, now he's with me. We're working together again, like how we first started. So, because the first plan was to, you know, let's go as a tag team and see how far we can go. And well, unfortunately, because of the things that happened, we did the singles road first, and now we're back together as a tag team. So we'll see how far we can go with that.
How much different of a performer do you think you would be right now if you had been picked up by WWE at that time?
Oh man, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I'm competitive in nature. So if I was with WWE, I would definitely try to learn as much as can. But it was I don't know. I'd hope still like have that inner fight. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I can't really tell you because it was a blessing to go through New Japan and learn the way they learn the old school, it's still old school over there, man. The training, they're still doing same training they picked up from when the Funks taught them back in the however long ago.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool. It's cool. It's a reminder of the business of where it started, and so it's cool.
What's a day like in the life of a young boy training in New Japan?
Oh man, it's stressful as hell. It's so stressful, man. They gotta wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they got to go clean the dojo. And I mean the living area and the kitchen and make sure all the laundry's done for the older guys, you know, the senpai. So, and then they got to go clean the because they have a bathhouse, clean the bathhouse. And then connected to the bathhouse is the training with you got the weights and you got the ring and stuff. So they got to go clean that, make sure that, you know, it's the baby faces come in and train early in the day, like from 9 in the morning till 3 p.m. That's all baby face time. And then 3 p.m. to after is all heel guys, you know, because they're you know, like I said, they're old school, man. They keep the kayfabe like it is. It's not running out of business over there, man. So they still play that role hard.
Did it take you a long time to, like, really embrace the Japanese culture? Because, I mean, you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm embarking on this career. I didn't originally plan on coming here, but now I'm here to try to learn, and I'm thousands of miles away from home, and you might not even know that many people or anybody at that time. So
it was actually kind of like easy for me. And now prior to this, I had a little jobs here and there, washing cars, car salesman. But one of my main jobs I had was I was a prior military. I was in the Air Force for 6 years, straight out of high school. So I already had been sent out to Missouri. I grew up my life being, you know, spending time everywhere. I'm from a little island called Tonga. So before I came to America and then from America, you know, I lived in a little island. So I've always been on the road. And when we were growing up, my dad, since he's from Japan, he taught us a lot of Japanese ways while we grew up here in Florida. And then so when I went to Japan and kind of started growing up in that system, I could finally able to put the pictures to my father's Japanese wrestling stories. You know, he could always tell me the stories and I could just kind of, oh, cool, you know, cool. But then when you finally go through Japan and go through the system, you're like, oh man, I can understand what he meant, what he had to go through. So it's a mixture of being out in the military and growing up in the Japanese. I think it kind of is well-rounded for me, made it easier for transition. And plus, I had another guy over there, another Tongan guy named Toko Fale, Bad Luck Fale. And he came from rugby into wrestling. And we find out through Facebook, while our first year training together, we found out we're cousins. Like, literally, we're really close cousins. So we came from the same village of Tonga. So that made the transition even more, you know, even easier for me. And I think it's been a cool thing, cool adventure, huh?
That's crazy that you're over there and you're talking with this guy going, hey, so where are you from? Well, I'm from Tonga. Well, I am too. And next thing you know, you do a little research, you find on Facebook, hey, guess what? We're actually close cousins. I mean, how's that happen?
Yeah, man. Small world. Everybody from the islands are related.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, your father, I mean, what was it like, you know, growing up in that atmosphere? Because you're hearing, you're probably hearing stories and you're seeing your dad go out all the time and you see him, you know, he's wrestling and you start hearing these stories as well about how he's like the toughest man walking the planet. So what's it like growing up in that house?
Oh, shoot. Okay. That's another one. So he kayfabed us too, man. Like we didn't know anything growing up because he kept his wrestling work and then he kept home life. So, you know, that was kind of like goes to like our Tongan culture, you know, man works and while the women provide the same as the old classic American way, right? Well, we grew up like that. My dad would be on the road working in Japan, working for WWE, traveling Puerto Rico, everywhere. But my mom was the one really like teaching us, and like she didn't want us to be wrestlers at all. She hated it. She was like, "You guys are gonna get an education. You're gonna be a lawyer, doctor, whatever." She had us in sports, trying everything she can not to have us in wrestling. And look at what happened now, man. We're all in wrestling. But shoot, what was your question again? I went off.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, growing up in that household, because like you just said, you know, we hear all these stories about your dad, you know, being this legit tough guy. I mean, people talk about him being like one of the toughest guys, you know, ever, you know, on the planet. I mean, I think he's proved that, you know, and then you're sitting there and you're going, yeah, I know dad's a wrestler, but I don't know that it's a show.
Oh man, I didn't know this until I started like traveling for wrestling. Like before that, like I started when I was 27. So it was after military time. So the whole time growing up, we were faked so hard that I was just oblivious to everything. And then I didn't know it was a work until I started working it, man. So that's how I grew up. But, I only knew how tough he was because the ass being I used to get, man, my little badass, you know, that's how I knew how tough he was.
So even despite you thinking that this was all a shoot, you still wanted to get into professional wrestling.
Man, all I saw was The Rock, some dollar signs, and the fame. I was like, man, I want to do that. It's changed now.
Yeah, it has changed a lot, you know. What was it like for you? You know, you said, you know, 6 years in the Air Force. You traveled around. You're in Missouri for a while. You're a mechanic there. I mean, how much has that affected you as a person when it comes to pro wrestling? Because, I mean, hell, I mean, guys in wrestling, I mean, it's some of the most outrageous personalities both on camera and probably go more behind the scenes.
I think it goes around that they think I'm the crazy one, man.
You've been holding it in for all these years. That's why.
So we, you know, like you said, there's all these like characters. I'm one of those, man. I'm like Waldo up in there. Find Waldo. We're all Waldos in there, man. It's a circus.
It is a circus, you know. But now you're back with your brother. You're teaming up with Tangaloa, you know, doing Grows of Destiny. Once he got released from WWE, did you automatically think like, okay, now we've got this golden opportunity and we need to work together?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. Because I know my brother. I know he's a real hard worker, and that's a no brainer right there. So yeah.
Why do you think it didn't work out for him a little bit better in WWE?
I don't know. You know, we never really talked about it. I think he was waiting for them to tell him what to do, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I guess it's probably one of those situations where you say, you know what, it is what it is. We moved on. So let's just not look on the past and let's move forward. And we've got this golden opportunity now, and you see the team really gelling and coming together and having some success.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was definitely like a learn. You know, just things to learn, experience. So can't hold no grudge. Just move forward. Yeah.
How comfortable is it teaming with a family member, especially a brother that you're close to? Because
man, be honest with you, I don't know. It's getting easier, but it didn't start so easy. We still bicker each other. You know, like brothers fight. You know, one giant. It's brotherly love. So it's it's like we're relearning how to work together, how to mesh together, because we spend some time away from each other. So it's fun. It's getting to know, you know, each other at a different level now, you know.
Well, I would think too that because coming from the different systems that you both came up through, you would have maybe a different approach on how to do things, especially, you know, when it comes to, and then you're going to tag together and that just, You've got a lot of things to probably work out there, right?
Yeah, man. East meets West, man.
Did you put him in his place and say, hey, I'm the one that's been over here. I know what to do, okay?
No, I mean, I don't, because I would show it that I'm good, but then I, I'm still a kid at heart. I'm still, I make mistakes. I'm just trying to, every day make it better. So I don't, it's a back and forth. Like I said, it's still brotherly love,
So we've seen this exploding scene now. When it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling, especially here in the United States, with New Japan World and the internet and social media, you're seeing more and more attention. What's it been like for you to be a part of that and see this big growth spurt when it comes to New Japan and the worldwide attention it's now getting?
It's awesome. It's really awesome, to get to shine, put light on some of these boys. The boys, they got talent, man, So, it's cool because I feel like New Japan is growing and is also helping with the bringing in guys for the guys to make their names out there. So it's cool. It's really nice to see people make their name out there and continue on with their career.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing over there too, is like, there's so many different opportunities for not only you and your brother to tag together, but also to do singles wrestling as well. You just had the New Japan Cup and there's just a lot of guys that you get an opportunity to work with. And it's these different styles, these different, everybody brings something different to the table. What's that challenge like for you to every time you go out there knowing, hey, we're going to have something different and fresh that we can probably do in the ring.
It makes work fun. It makes work fun and not repetitive, it makes the everything organic and organically grown, not forced, So it's we like a variation of styles, not just one, So it lets everybody cultivate their skill level, their style, their uniqueness. So it's a place to grow wrestlers.
So take me back to Wrestle Kingdom 11. Okay, so what was going on in the ring? What was with all the cursing, man?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Man, I heard him doing it, and it got me all amped up, and I went right with it. I was like, all right, this is how we going to play.
That was crazy, because you're sitting there watching the match. You do a move, you go, F you, screw you. And what is going on here, man?
I don't know, man.
You guys are having too much fun out there or something.
Man, I told him, hey, man, let's have some fun, but I didn't know he was going to have all that fun. Damn.
You got to jump in, and I mean... Has the scene been a little bit different over there over the past couple of years, considering that some of your buddies are now gone? I mean, Gallows and Anderson are obviously in WWE and they're doing their thing. And I mean, and all you guys are so tight over there. And is it tough when a couple of your buddies move on?
Yeah, it is. I hate endings, man. I hate finish. I hate anything that ends. I'm a man, let's ride or die all the way. But I understand that's life, man. But it's cool because we communicate all the time. It's a tight bond between all of us. So the boys are living their dream and we're doing our thing. Everybody's doing their thing. Everybody's happy. You're doing what's best for them.
Do you miss the tales of Sex Ferguson?
Hell yeah, man. Don't worry, man. The tales will continue.
Did you see the, Southpaw Regional Wrestling where it was Tex Ferguson, but it was basically the same guy and he was doing that?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh. I was just like, man, can you imagine if this was uncensored right now? Like,
yeah, some good brothers there, man.
That is some good brothers right there. So now with yourself and your brother, you guys are doing some more dates here in the United States. You're doing a little Ring of Honor. You guys do Wrestle Circus as well over in Texas. That thing's really, the scene there, especially with Wrestle Circus, has really exploded.
Yeah, it is, man. I enjoy the hell out of that little spot. It's growing. I think they got something special over there. So it's I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to working with them again.
See what happens when you get somebody that, you got to have money, obviously, but you got to make smart investments. You got to do it the right way. You got to find the location. And then they've hit on something over there. And you're hearing more and more, talk about Wrestle Circus really becoming, a player for that regional area. And it's just good to see.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I enjoy myself over there. I hope that, it keeps going.
And
we'll work for the boys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing right now. There is so much work for the boys around the world because you know, Japan is blowing up with New Japan. Only so many people can get over there, but I mean, it's a great place to work. And then we see all these different companies popping up all over the place that are doing extremely well, you know, over in the UK and Germany and here in the United States. It's a crazy scene to be a part of right now. Just, you know, it wasn't too long ago where a lot of people were kind of dreading, you know, the death of independent wrestling. And now I look at it like, I've never even seen it this big before in my life.
Yes. It's a revival of the territories, huh?
Yeah. So when's the last time you've been breakdancing in Mojo Rawley's living room?
Hey, man. Mojo said he wasn't going to tell nobody about that shit, man.
Come on. It's all out there. Come on.
Oh, man. No. Man, it's been a minute, man. It's been a long, long time. Oh, that's a good brother right there hanging out. Him and my brother. Him and my brother used to have a place, my younger brother together. And, oh, man. That was a scene. I'll never forget those times.
How many times did you see Mojo put a hole in the wall in his house?
Oh, shoot. How many times did we have it covered up? I lost count, man.
When is there a chance that we are going to see the Tiki Bar podcast come back?
I think so, man. I think so. I really enjoyed doing it, to be honest with you. And I think it's going to make a comeback. I just got to, with the schedule, my schedule coming up and everything, just getting more busier, traveling back and forth from Japan. I have to figure out what kind of time to do that. I don't know. But I think so. Man, sorry, Mr. Fritz.
No, that's okay, man. You're all good.
Short answer, yeah, man. I think it'll make a comeback someday.
Well, I mean, this is part you... I've caught you in a time when you are adjusting from Japan to United States time zone. And this is something that happens to you probably once a month at least, probably, right?
Yeah, about once a month, man. China gives me about, I've slept in. All I've done is slept in. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning. So I went and worked out, came back. And this is probably my schedule. I'll fall asleep around 5, 6 p.m., wake back up at 2 a.m. and go out again. It'll last me about probably 4 or 5 days, 6 days, and it'll start to wear off.
Yeah, but by the time it starts to wear off, then it's time to go back to Japan.
But it's actually better when we go over there for some reason. I think the rotation of the Earth, we're going with the day, and when we come from Japan back, we're going against time. So it's a lot harder when we come this way, but it's easier when we go there.
Do you subscribe to the theory that the Earth is flat?
Oh, jeez. Oh, man, that's some deep, man. You going to get me in a deep conversation right now? Who told you? Hey, did somebody tell you that I go deep?
No, it's been a topic lately. People are trying to, you know, talk about this, the Earth is flat theory, which...
Oh, man, I don't know. I'd have to find out. I'd do more research, man, before I make a decision on that.
I'll tell you what, the next time that we get together, because we'll do this in person, we will do a deep dive on YouTube, and we'll read flat Earth truthers.
Hey, you better bring your snorkels, man. I go pretty deep, bro.
I like it. Well, everybody can talk to you about is the Earth flat at Wally Mania coming up.
Hey, don't put my buzz over there.
It's going to be a good time. I think for anybody that has ever watched you or listened to you do Tiki Bar or seen your videos on YouTube and, you know, just kept up with your career. I mean, and even listening to this, you are just a fun, chill, take the moment as it is, let's have a good time kind of guy. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, man, thank you.
And that's what everybody's going to get to enjoy, Wally Mania, Thursday night over at the Tier Nightclub. And everybody get your tickets at MLW.com.
That's right. Come break it down with me.
Absolutely. And by the way, let's get some plugs in here. Everybody can follow you. It's on Twitter. It's Tama_Tonga. And on Instagram, it's Bad Boy_Tama Tonga. On Facebook, it's Official Tama Tonga. On YouTube, it's Tama Tonga BC. Or you can go online to tamatonga.com. I think that's everything.
That's a lot of Tama Tongas going on there.
That's a lot of Tama Tonga. That's the way we like it, though. We need a lot of Tama Tonga in our life.
Oh, man.
It'll all be good. So, hey, I really appreciate the time. I know we've been trying to do this for a while, and hopefully we'll do it again sometime soon, and we'll have some more fun with it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Appreciate everybody for listening. Be on the lookout for either later here on Tuesday night or on Wednesday morning for another podcast with myself and Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, who's we talk all about WrestleMania. Plus, myself and Michael will be together doing the weekly podcast coming up later on in the week. Also, please not only subscribe to the podcast on so many different places, like I said earlier, where you can get the podcast, you know, iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and the TuneIn app on SoundCloud, but also please subscribe to the Between the Ropes channel on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/Between the Ropes. We're putting up the weekly shows there with myself and Michael, plus all the other interviews that I do with various wrestlers. We're putting those interviews up there as well. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel, just another place that you can get more Between the Ropes. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.